This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation pop experience. The multiverse is upon us. How you doing? Welcome to Pop Goes the Movies. We're here breaking down and reviewing the latest entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the theatrical portion of it, because now there is actually a TV portion of it. Is it still called the MCU? I don't know. I don't care. What are we doing? Multiverse is upon us. This is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I am Andy Atherton. I am your host, moderator, slash one of your reviewers. Thank you for being here. And also joining me tonight, a couple of Place to Be Nation's best and brightest, as usual. You know this lovely lady. She is the purveyor of the Jenny position, now dropping a pod weekly on the North South Connection podcast feed, Miss Jennifer Smith. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Double A, thanks for having me. Is it a Marvel multiverse universe?
I don't know. Marvel T
the M- cinematic
MTMCUV X3. I don't know. What are we doing? All right, cool. we'll try to figure it out. We got time.
Yeah.
And rounding out our group tonight, we may get a surprise drop in later on. No guarantees, no promises. But here right now, one of my co-hosts on Pop Goes to the Couch, we review everything streaming, basically in the MCTV XYZU, Scott Shiflett.
Andy, Jenny, I'm glad to be here tonight to talk about one of my favorite things, which is Marvel movies being released. And we have a good one that we're going to hit tonight.
And theatrically, which is the best part of it, too. I mean, I love going to the movies. And
yes.
I'll tell you, between this and Spider-Man, it reaffirms that. Because there were not as many cheers in this, but there was probably spoilers for No Way Home, the Spider-Man. But we pretty much, there were lots of rumors we were going to get Toby and Andrew in that movie. And when it happened, everybody like cheered and all that stuff. But we didn't know like one or two things we got in this movie. Like no clue. There was some dream casting, some fan casting, some recasting, you know, and people like, my jaw did drop during the Illuminati sequence, but we'll get to that though, because that's a bit into the movie. So, Jenny, we'll start with you. What were your thoughts going in when we first, you know, this was announced a while ago because of, COVID kind of got in the way of a lot of stuff and things had to be shifted because shows on Disney Plus dropped out of order that they originally were intended. So we're not seeing the natural progression of how it was originally intended, but I think they've done a course correction very good. But going in now, you're a comics person, Scott's a comics person, I am not a comics person. I don't know of Doctor Strange, I don't know, except for what in the movies and stuff, but or the multiverse of madness and some of these characters, things that we saw like Shumagora, who had to be called like something else because the name is fuzzy with the rights. But what were your thoughts going in, and what were your expectations of this film?
So I always try to do, like a lot of people will deep dive, well, I deep dive into Marvel movies a lot, but it's usually after. So I try not to get spoiled. I try not to know anything going into it except for what I already know, right? I know the MCU. I know everything that's going on. I try not to get too caught up in theories and stuff like that. So I've tried to go in as blind as possible. And I did get spoiled on the Illuminati members. And that was okay. I would prefer not to, but I'm not crying about it. Okay. But it's fine. But Doctor Strange is interesting because the way that I understood Scarlet Witch to be involved in this is like one of the few times that we've had the TV shows be so directly related to one of the movies in WandaVision. And so I was a little bit concerned that it would end up feeling like a Scarlet Witch movie as opposed to a Doctor Strange movie. Now, that might have happened, but my feelings about it switched. So, and it seemed like there was a lot of things that they wanted to do in this movie, introduce the multiverse, and then all these characters were going to get characters from different properties and whatnot. And so it was just like anything is possible type feeling with this movie. And I was afraid that Doctor Strange might get a little bit underserviced during it.
Yeah, you were afraid that the title character wasn't actually going to be the main character.
Which I don't have a problem with, just because of what they've kind of done with him, like a Tony Light kind of thing that they got going on with him. Mm-hmm. And he's a good, I think, like a center point, because he's been so involved in the big moments that we've had so far in the MCU that it's not unheard of for us to use him as a way to get to somebody else. You know, he's a good character to bring in other characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not the same kind of team up movie like Civil Wars, but Civil War is pretty much as much a Tony movie as it is a Cap movie for the most part.
Sure.
You can kind of make similarities here between Wanda and Doctor Strange, I think. Mm-hmm. All right. So also, I didn't say it already, but it goes without saying, it's in the description. But this is spoiler filled. So by this point, if you're listening, if you haven't seen the movie, it's your funeral, man. You want to listen to us? Fine. If not, go back, go watch the movie, then come back, listen to us. Scott, what are your expectations and your thoughts going into the movie?
Yeah, with Jenny saying that Doctor Strange was Tony Light, that's what I felt for the very first movie. I was like, I've already seen this. Like, I remember walking out and I was like, it was okay, but I've already seen this with billionaire playboy, you know, becomes a superhero. Oh, just the difference is we have like science, like not really science, but like magic behind it this time. So it's like, okay, been there, done that. I've already seen three movies, you know, four if you want to count Civil War, got the t-shirts. But with this, I was shocked. And I have a rule with MCU movies where I just watch one trailer if I can. Like if I'm stuck in a theater, I'm not going to be ridiculous and like close my eyes and like put fingers in my ears. But I don't go out of my way. Like I was spoiled, like, Marvel even said that the Illuminati were coming, but like we didn't know who it was. But with Sam Raimi directing I had pretty decent hopes because I like the Evil Dead movies. The first two Spider-Mans were good. The third one's dog shit, but I had pretty high expectations, even though if I'm not the biggest fan of Doctor Strange, just because I loved WandaVision so much. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to it in a minute, but I really liked some things that they did with it. And this movie surpassed my expectations, which for Marvel movies, I have high expectations. And I'm saying Disney Marvel movies, not Marvel Sony movies.
Yeah. We have to make a distinction. I watch all the trailers. I try not to go much further than that where people start doing deep dives and speculations. Like, unfortunately, I have a daughter who does go into all that, is on the Twitter and all that stuff, and is always like pinging me about things. And I'm like, I don't want to know, stop. But it's funny, is I recently watched, Jenny actually was there when Miranda and I watched the first Doctor Strange on Stream Lounge, and it had been quite some time since I watched it all the way through. And I'm kind of glad it kind of worked out timing wise, because I kind of enjoyed that movie a little bit more that I saw that. All right. And then for me, like, I was excited to see it. And I had no idea what to expect with everything going on, and I knew nothing of I know nothing of the multiverse. And I was just I was excited, and I was just hoping I could follow it. Because and to their credit, it was pretty damn it was restrained, I think. I think Sam Raimi is he's such a good director that, you know, we only settle in a couple of, I guess, multiverses themselves, multivi, so to speak.
And I mean this in the nicest way possible, but because I'm including myself in this, this was like the idiot's guide to the multiverse.
Yeah. What you needed that.
Yeah,
you need that be like primer type thing.
Mm-hmm. I did like the one scene where him and America were going through. It was like boom, boom, boom. And but they you know, you kind of got a little bit of a feeling of it, but they didn't like we didn't like go to all these different places where they were like, you know, we had to like learn about what was going on there. No, we just saw it. Okay, it was cool. You know, this was this was that, this was animated. Okay. You know,
honestly, kinda, I thought that in a sequence like that is when they would try to pop in cameos. Mm-hmm. You know, like as they fall through this universe and this multiverse, then we see this character, that character. I honestly thought they would do something like that.
Same, Jenny. That's what I was thinking. Like I know we'll get to it, but one of the people that I thought was going to pop up, and I'm not sure if it's because like me and Sean had this discussion so many times, was that Tom Cruise was going to be Iron Man. Like I think just because we had that discussion a bunch, I just assumed like it will see it like. I mean, we went another way with it, which I think I enjoyed more than seeing Tom Cruise show up as Tony Stark, which would have been interesting. But so I know that was a fan cast in the 90s, but I was expecting all that. I, you know, in the back of my mind, I was sort of expecting to see like the Fox X-Men in the thing, like, you know, even if it's Wolverine or, you know, what's her face is Jean Grey. So, but, you know, I'm glad with how it turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So Jenny had touched on it too. We knew Wanda was going to be in this, and there was rumors she was going to be the villain. What I was not expecting for her to break bad so fast. Scott, what do you think of that? And Wanda's progression to becoming like, you know, I don't know if it sounds silly or not, but you know, she kind of went the Willow route. You know, with a Buffy reference there, she went from being like somebody we like loved and cheered and went to the dark side because of emotional, you know, things that they loved and getting taken away from them. And you know, what did you think of her progression, you know, as and how quickly it happened? Like you see her out there and then she like it was all an illusion. This all these apple trees, it's really like this like desolate, you know, dystopia type of thing she's living in, and while she's going through the Darkhold. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't know the Willow reference. I thought you were talking about that weird-ass troll movie, so thank you for that.
I love the weird-ass troll movie.
Sorry. So that's what I was like, oh, but then
oh
you
my
said
God,
Buffy.
I forgot you've never seen Buffy.
Yeah. All right, I was like so long.
For shame.
But then you explained it, so it's great.
She literally Buffy's best friend becomes the big bad for one of the seasons. That's all you need to know.
Okay. No, I'm glad you did because I was lost there. But from watching WandaVision, she's low-key the villain in that. I mean, she holds the whole town hostage. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I know we'd like to though it was Agatha all along. But you know, there were more than one person could be a bad guy. And she was like the low-key bad guy with that. Like we could see what her powers could do. And with this, I like the beginning when she's like, are you going to bring America to me? And she's like, you never said my name. And I was like, fuck yes. Like we're not doing like the thing where it's like, oh, Wanda pretends to be a good guy for 85% of the movie, then turns heel in the last 15. It's like, no, she's the bad guy from the beginning. She says she's been holding back. We're about to see full strength Wanda. And I was like, I'm here for it. And one thing that I loved was in WandaVision with Agatha, you saw when she was using dark magic, her hands were turning black. And that's all that you saw in Multiverse of Madness was how like her fingers were turning black, how she was being corrupt, more and more corrupted by the dark magic. It was a nice little thing. And by the way, there was times in this movie where I legit had jump scares.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but I was like, oh, shit, like this is on. And we'll get to this later, I'm sure. But there was a scene where I was like, this is like a zombie movie right now. Yep. We'll talk about that. But I was just like, I just loved how from the jump, it's like they have this thing where like Doctor Strange even says, oh, maybe I'll put you back on a lunchbox or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, she's never going to be on a lunchbox ever again. she's full blown heel.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, why don't you give your thoughts and then I'll say my next my line. Go ahead.
So, yeah, low-key, I agree with your WandaVision take about Wanda being the low-key villain there. And then at the end, I mean, because you feel sorry for her through the progression of that show. And then also kind of wonder about the people who didn't watch WandaVision, if they felt that her whole story got served. Like, did they understand where she was coming from if they hadn't seen WandaVision? I feel like the movie did a pretty decent job at getting you there, but also I just already know WandaVision, so I have all the context, so it's hard for me to sort of decide if they did it well. But we knew how low she was. I mean, we could kind of tell she had lost everything, you know, and she was fucking up bad all during WandaVision, and it doesn't make any sense for her to try to act like she's not that through half of this movie. So, and I wanted to see what her powers could do against all these other magical people, because when she was in WandaVision, you know, all those people that there were, you know, they brought in the military and blah blah blah, and Agatha was there, but she hadn't had to really combat, you know, a legion of sorcerers before. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see how she would take them on, and she fucking slayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Her assault on Carvertage was pretty impressive.
Ooh, it was insane. And also another aspect of this movie is I watched it in IMAX, and I did not realize it was 3D IMAX, which I've never been a fan of 3D movies, but then single-handedly – this movie and the way the 3D was done has totally switched my opinion because it was incredible in 3D.
Ah, all right.
I'm glad Jenny brought that up. I saw it just in regular IMAX. If I'm going to say this, if there's an IMAX theater near you, I think that's the way to go to watch a Marvel movie. 100%,
yes,
it's a little bit more expensive, but I think that it is worth it. Like, that's the way I'm going from here on out, is just to watch them in IMAX, because it's just breathtaking.
Yeah, we do have an IMAX here, but also the theater here has this thing called, well, it was a Bowtie theater, now it's an AMC, but it was called BTX Bowtie Extreme, and it's basically a theater that's like double the size, the screen is humongous, the audio is like 10 times better than the regular other theaters, yeah, and it is an extra few bucks a ticket, and every big blockbuster, Marvel, whatever, yeah, we're getting tickets for that thing, because it's just insane how good it is. It does make such a difference. So yeah, I do get it. So you touched on this a little bit with Sam Raimi being coming from Evil Dead. Well, yeah, this was a legit horror movie. Didn't go that hardcore. But you know, Dylan, it was just me and Dylan seeing this movie. Jessica went on her own up at college. And he jumped, like, you know, he scares a bit easy, but the way I get a movie, he's like, Dad, I counted 7 jump scares. I can't believe that. So yeah, I this was like, he's like, oh, this could, you know, my friends are saying they got so lucky it wasn't an R. I said, there was nothing in this that was R. There was some gnarly things that happened, and we'll talk about some gnarly deaths in a little bit. But you know, Jenny, you're a horror person. Does this check your horror box?
Yes, especially like Scott said, the zombie sequence. Mm-hmm. When Wanda is chasing them, all of that, just flickering lights and, you know, the claustrophobic feel and the tunnels. And Wanda was so creepy. She was so fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. And you could tell the horror that they did the jump scares in 3D. That shit was crazy. I was like, ah!
Yeah, she could. Elizabeth Olsen could really turn on being sweet and everything, yeah. And then 1 second, and then really like, oh man, this bitch is crazy. You know, scary. You know, things. Scott, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. Like, when we first went to where she was going to rule that tower, and one of those, I guess, like, they were golems, case. Yeah, like, that scared me, like, when, like, Wong turned around, it was right there. But that scene, like, where she's, like, chasing them, like, you know, she's limping because she stepped on the glass, and, like, she's just, like, nonstop. And then, like, Sam did, like, this great thing where, like, we're focusing on, like, the last room, and it's, like, we don't think she got in. And, like, it focused there, like, for, it felt like a ridiculous amount of time where it was, like, starting to get uncomfortable. And then she somehow got behind them, and it was just, like, holy shit, like, this is terrifying, because we had just seen her. I know we're getting ahead, Andy. We had just seen her take out the whole Illuminati, like that, in just grotesque ways. And then it's like, oh, now she's just gonna rip everyone else apart. And it's like, holy shit! Like, there's blood all over her. It was awesome.
And just her whole, even outside of the physical, like, when she starts the dreamwalking stuff, like, just her relentless pursuit of them, like, in this multiverse, and then in person, like, she is so determined. It's like Jason, you know, it's like Freddy. It's like just the intense relentlessness of her trying to get what she wants, and she is just going to hunt you down.
Yeah, like a true horror movie.
Yeah.
Bad guy, bad, whatever, bad person. You know, you could even say the shark in Jaws, like, just relentless, just unwavering, just intense.
And she's so powerful.
Yes.
You're just running. You can't get ahead of her. You can't outsmart her. She's just so fucking powerful that you don't know what to do.
Yeah, she is a Nexus being, so apparently that's pretty powerful. All right, so let's get to the newest character introduced in this movie, America Chavez. I thought she was cool. I mean, I know our good friend Sean had some issues with how she was introduced. Like, we didn't get enough of a backstory, which I can see that. Like, I had no idea who this was. If, like, I had never seen any, like, you know, who America Chavez is, things on, like, Nerdist or something, I would not know that she, like, you know, what her power is and all that stuff, and why she was so important to Wanda. She basically becomes like a deus ex machina, so to speak, like, where she's the thing that, you know, Wanda is focused on, because she thinks that she's the key, basically, to getting to her kids. But I thought the young actress who portrayed her did a great job. I really liked when we got to her backstory, learning about, like, you know, when the first time she used her powers. Jenny, what are your thoughts on America Chavez, who we're going to see quite a bit, I believe. From what I understand, she is going to be one of the young Avengers or in some kind of group coming up. So I mean, she is training. When we end the movie, she is training at Carmitage. So she may become, a wizard. Who knows? But what are your thoughts on America Chavez?
I get the criticism about the origin story, but a lot of times people get bogged down in the origin stories, especially in comics. So for me, I was kind of glad not to have to kind of sit through, like, a whole thing about, you know, how she is. Like, it kind of slowly revealed itself, her origin, right? So we kind of get bits and pieces of it. And what I thought was interesting is kind of what they did with the Hawkeye show, which is this older male and this younger female dynamic, which is interesting to kind of, like, think about and watch, because just in the whole, like, you know, wokeness of everybody, I think showing these, like, functional, affectionate, real relationships between men and women that are not sexual in any way, they're not parental, they're more mentor-based, you know what I mean? And I think it's interesting showing the dynamic between Strange and America. It's not the same dynamic that he had with Peter. You know, Peter, you know, is more of a different character, and she was just very mysterious, and he had to really, like, Pete just comes at you with all of the enthusiasm and the information, but she was very reserved, and she mm-hmm. he had to sort of learn her as a person. So I enjoyed their dynamic a lot, and then ultimately just ended up really liking her arc, you know, her not understanding what happened to her parents and realizing that they were probably alive somewhere, maybe in one of these multiverses, but also yeah. she just had like a weight to her, like I wouldn't call her like a precocious character or like a scampy character. Like she was sort of mysterious and kind of deep person, and had a lot of trauma and issues from all the experiences that she had and losing her parents and being the reason for it. So I just think there's a lot of depth there to her as a character.
All right. Well said. Scott, what are your thoughts on America Chavez joining MCU?
I was okay with it. It's a character that's actually relatively new, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, Jenny said it perfectly. We didn't need to be bogged down by another origin story. The way they were doing it is like, this is the facts. This is what she can and can't do. She has a pretty cool power, which I enjoy, which opens up a lot of storytelling. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't hope that they go that way, but, maybe we'll get to that in a minute. Well, at the end of the pod. But, no, it was... I enjoyed her. Wouldn't surprise me if we get like some TV show about her. I will say it was a little concerning at the end of the credits for me where it said Doctor Strange will return. It didn't say anything about America Chavez. So we shall see. They could always like dust the character off and throw her on any of these shows for, you know, so we don't know.
Well, I think that's reserved for like the big heavy hitters that are. Like, we know she just got introduced. We know she's going to be around for a while. Doctor Strange, it's like this is his second, you know, headlining movie. But he's, you know, he's been in, you know, the Infinity War and Endgame. And he was just in, No Way Home. So it's like that. You wonder, like, you know, what next time we're going to see him, which is a question I have for towards the end of the pod, like. You know, I think she's from everything I've heard, you know, we know that she's going to be part of this, you know, going forward for quite a while. Plus, there's going to be more characters, younger characters introduced along very soon, from what I'm understanding. Here's one thing I noticed, though. I love Wong. Do you love him? He's like one of the really great minor, you know, I hate to call him a minor character, but he is a minor character. He is awesome, but you know, how come, you know, we go to all these multiverses, we see how many Doctor Stranges, how many Wandas, and how many this, how many that. We only have one Wong in this movie. Why didn't we meet other Wongs? You guys have any idea? Scott, any idea?
I just think maybe murdered off, and in the 838 universe where we see Mordo seems to have taken Wong's spot, so maybe when they fought Dormammu, it was Wong that passed away in that universe. And in the universe where we see like the basically the what if Strange, everyone's already dead besides Strange. So yeah, I mean, that's the only like really universes that we see.
Yeah. Jenny, did that occur to you that like how come we never saw any Wand variants?
No, because I was wondering like where's the Vision variant? Like where's once I started down that path, I was like, okay, I can't think about this any longer. Like, because, you know, the movie speeds and you have to kind of like keep up mm-hmm. or you're going to get lost real quick.
All right. So also returning now to this is Rachel McAdams as Christine Palmer. And we see a couple of hers in this movie. We, you know, we have in our universe, the 616, you know, Steven is going to her wedding. And that's when basically all hell breaks on. You know, it's like Alanis Morissette, or ironic, you know, didn't say rain on your wedding day, but a giant, you know, humongous octopus villain being controlled by, you know, a Nexus witch. You know, I think that just the song, it doesn't rhyme. Can't find anything to rhyme with
that.
But yeah, she returns, and she was more of a major character than I had thought as well. Like, didn't know she was going to be so pivotal in the whatever that universe was, 8, 17, 8, whatever it was. So I thought she was great. It was kind of sad to learn that no matter what universe they're in, multiverse, him and Strange and Christine never end up together. Mm. So, you know, but there is hope for Strange on the romantic front coming, from what I understand. Jenny, what do you think of the return of Rachel McAdams as Christine Palmer?
I would say she is one of the pleasant surprises of the show in both universes, mm-hmm. because it was a bit of a, I wouldn't say reclamation, but, you know, I think it gave her a little bit more to work with in this movie than she got in the first movie. A good arc. She gets to kind of close off the one with our Steven with her wedding. You know, that's kind of done and over, and they're going to move on. So we kind of get that closure. And then we get this other universe version of her where, hey, okay, maybe there's a chance here. And she is a recognizable version of herself. She's not evil, but she is very clinical, and but she is very knowledgeable. So she gives us a lot of the expository stuff that we needed, but they do it in a good way through her character. But I thought she was smart and pretty pivotal towards the end in the conclusion of the movie. So I really enjoyed what they did with her.
There's hope for... Yeah. For Natalie Portman coming up.
Yep.
Scott, what are your thoughts on Rachel McAdams, Christine Palmer's return?
Every time I can see Rachel McAdams on my screen, I'm not going to be sad about it. but yeah, like her character is basically one note. It's like, you know, in the first one, she was just like the girl that wasn't the girlfriend, but they obviously have feelings. And then, like, you know, she has to resuscitate him at one point in the first one. That's literally all I remember her doing, is basically, like, in Scrubs, or, like, basically just being pretty useless. But in this one, like, she actually, like Jenny said, she moved the plot along. She answered those expositional issues that we had with the 838 universe. And, you know, hearing, like, how things were slightly – were the same but also slightly different in the other universes was great. And it was just – it was nice to see her – like, I know it's stupid, but her having, like, switching the hair color from the universe, mm-hmm. was just this nice little touch, and they weren't being lazy with it.
All right, so we mentioned it before a few times. This was the big kind of the, I don't know, you want to get the oh shit moments of the movie? Mm-hmm. In a movie full of them, actually. We get to the Illuminati, which we knew about was coming. We just didn't know who all the members were. It had been revealed that Patrick Stewart was going to be in it as Professor X, but we were not expecting many of the others. So we got Black Bolt, who I recognize from what I saw a little bit of that Inhuman show. I didn't really watch it, but I remember from, and also from a Lego game.
Don't worry. I don't think any people really watched
it.
So
I'm a completist, but I'm not that bad. Like, I ain't going back. I think the people really in the theater really lost it when we saw Captain Carter, because that was the little what if connection. We got a couple of what if connections in this movie. But yeah, Haley Atwell is great, and we hope to see more of Captain Carter. We get Captain Marvel, but we get a different Captain Marvel. We get Maria Rambeau. Mm-hmm. That was a bit of a surprise, and it took me a second to like try to like remember, because she had a different hairstyle and everything like that, and then. This is where everybody lost their shit. Was we get Mr. Fantastic, Jim Halpert himself, John Krasinski, who had been, you know, that has been dream fan cast for a long time. That's where everybody lost their stuff. So before we talk about what happens to the Illuminati, let's talk about your thoughts on the introduction. Jenny, how much were you losing your stuff at that point?
I will say, out of those characters, I popped the hardest for Professor X, because we get a little riff, and he was in the yellow, and I was like,
"Yeah, it was awesome."
Oh, I was fucking losing it, and I love Patrick Stewart anyway, and he was just Professor X, and he just was, and it just seemed right, like. All this shit is colliding, and it's perfect, and it's beautiful and wonderful, just as it should be. And there are very few times you can say that, because I thought they nailed all the Illuminati. I don't know as much about Black Bolt. I will say that's a little bit of a blind spot, but I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. John as Reed Richards is a huge treat and something I hope we get to see more of.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Scott, what are your thoughts on the introduction of the Illuminati? Like your reactions, how the theater was, all that?
Well, I was shocked with Black Bolt because, you know, I thought the Inhumans were a dirty word in Marvel right now. Because the reason why they got their own TV shows because they weren't sure that they were ever going to, that Marvel was unsure they were going to get the Fox Marvel right, the X-Men rights at the time. So that's why they were trying, because Inhumans was originally going to be a movie, but they decided to make it a TV show. And, you know, they were being pushed harder in the comics than the X-Men at that time. And, you know, seeing like then it failed, obviously, but then like seeing Black Bolt, I was like, oh, maybe they're throwing a, you know, throwing a bone to the longtime fans. Captain Carter was a nice surprise. I was not expecting to see Haley Atwell. That was very nice. I loved her What If episode. Mm-hmm. Captain Marvel being Monica's mom, that was awesome as well. I think that might just be a one-off. But yeah, Jenny said the perfect thing about Professor X, like seeing Patrick Stewart as Professor X. Like, I love those X-Men movies growing up. You know, 1 and 2, Days of Futures Past is awesome. But those X-Men movies are hit and miss with that. But yeah, the crowd lost their mind when John Krasinski showed up as Reed Richards. Spoiler alert, I kind of hate the Fantastic Four. They just don't do it for me. I think it's just like a generational thing. But if they have Jim looking buff as shit as Reed Richards and not looking like a pansy like Ian Grunfeld from the early 2000s movie.
That's a racial hornblower there, man. Come on. And you're like, I don't know, Horn Hornblower.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that the guy? I know he was in Titanic. He was the one that was blowing the whistle for people trying to find him when the Titanic sunk.
Johan Grunfeld is one of those. He was like had a big career in England, and Horatio Hornblower with these like original movies that we aired on A&E. He's like this. He's kind of like a like Master and Commander, that kind of time period.
Okay.
Person, yeah, they did good ratings at least. I could tell you that much. But yeah, I was yeah, you're right. When Krasinski's there, and he could be the guy. You know, he could be the Tony Stark for their next, you know.
That's a great point.
Run, you know, because he is. Go ahead, Scott.
Sorry. Well, also when they're in those containment labs and like they're talking to Rachel McAdams' character, she says they're at the Baxter Building. So I was like, ah, shit, I know where we're at now. I know where we're at. But it was still nice like seeing them, because that could have just been an Easter egg where like we're at the Baxter Building, but then like, you know, the Illuminati are the same Illuminati in the comics, which would have been cool because it's Black Panther, Namor, Professor X, Iron Man, and Black Bolt. So like that would have seen like we would have seen Namor for the first time if they went by the comics. But I loved it when John, the crowd popped and everything. It was great.
I think it was the Baxter Pavilion. I don't think it was the Baxter Building per se, which rumors is that could be what Avenger Stark Tower could become the Baxter Building for all. But all right, cool. So Scott mentioned this earlier about the decimation of of this Illuminati thing. Hopefully this is it, like for these characters, like decimations. Like I'm hoping that they come back you know later on. But this was pretty brutal, this this thing. I mean, first of all, where is Mordo? He's like in a moat, basically. So he's out of it, right? So then we get I think it's Black Bolt that buys it, where she does a very horror-like thing, like, and gets rid of his mouth, where and his head basically explodes, but it's a very implodes. Yeah, it's a contained implosion. How's that?
Yeah.
It doesn't like we don't have like. Like, you know, brain matter everywhere, you know, and then
she crumples his brain like a can, yo.
I know.
That's what she did. It was awesome. Crazy.
You know, and then we get, Mr. Fantastic, treated like, you know, a 3-year-old with a fruit roll up, basically, just pulling that shit apart.
Then, well, after she says the savage line where he's like, I got kids. You know, and she's like, do you still have your wife? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, well, at least someone would be around to raise them. It's like, damn.
That was brutal.
Yeah, she ain't here to play. you know, and then we get, you know, Captain Marvel and Captain Carter, you know, trying their hardest.
Captain Carter is sliced in half by her own shield.
Yeah. That was so fucking sick. I could not believe that they did that. They didn't show her get cut in half. It was kind of fuzzy, like in the distance, sort of. You got the impression that she fell apart, but you knew that she got cut in half with her own shield. That shit is so middle.
Yeah.
Well, it's freaking out.
Like, I wish they would have showed, like, the body going one way and their torso.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I think that pushes it past the PG-13.
They pushed that death for sure. I felt like
they did. I'm sure they had many before the Disney board and before the ratings committee, where they were kind of like, no more. All right, I'll come back. All right, no. All right, this is good. I know they're gonna approve it now. Yeah, no, we can't see that. And it's like, so I bet you there was a lot of give and take with Disney and Sam and the ratings. So, you know, but it was as effective, if not more. I mean, there was like most of the jump scares were in this scene, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and then poor Professor X also buys it. I thought he was going to hold his own better than he did, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. But
which is scary as shit, and like just reaffirms all of Wanda's greatness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just shows how like powerful she is. She took out the Illuminati, who in this universe killed Thanos, as we find out, and then they had to kill Doctor Strange because they know about the different universes, because he caused incursions and took out he killed a whole universe. And then at the end of taking out Thanos, they realize they have to kill that universe as Doctor Strange, and they kill him by Black Bolt speaking, which just atomizes Doctor Strange, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like, it, we get this cool scene, and then like Wanda's like, well, that's cool and all, but that's the past. I'm here to fuck y'all up, and does so in like 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, that was very harrowing, because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, hopefully they're not dead. This is just one universe. Everything is different. Hopefully we're going to see them again. Hopefully, like, I was sitting there like, kind of like trying to, you know, work myself out of being like, oh man. Cool. All right. So yeah, Wanda, we talked about Wanda as the villain, but the Darkhold, and Steven gets into it. What do you think of all the strangers though we meet? Any of them stand out in particular, Scott, over others?
Well, the what if Doctor Strange that turned completely evil. It was nice seeing him, because he's such like a bad guy in the What If episode, and then in this, like, he killed his whole his whole universe as well, and we see like him and Doctor Strange go at it, and like their little battle with like the piano, like all the musical keys and notes and everything.
That was a very fun sequence. That was not like anything I've ever seen, I think.
I saw it in 3D. It was so cool.
I bet you that was awesome in 3D. Yes. And then, like, he impales him outside, which I was like, damn, that's a pretty gnarly kill. And I was like, holy shit. And then, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but at the very end, I was getting some real Evil Dead vibes with those ghouls coming after him and everything. So, I just loved it. But, yeah, my favorite one was the dark one we had already seen before. Not the one with the weird ponytail speaking Spanish. Who is basically out of telenovela.
Don't know what that is. All right, Jenny.
So, Zombie Strange.
Of course.
Which, by the way, when people said they saw him in the trailers, I thought that was the bad guy from the first one that was coming back because of, like, the multiverse stuff. I had no idea that was Zombie Strange. Was that the only one that was way off key, or did y'all...
No, I saw like a thing on like Nerdist.
Okay, never mind. I didn't realize it was Zombie Strange, so I was like, oh shit.
That was the coolest part. And you know, really just our OG Strange. Mm-hmm. I thought even through all of this, like everything that we talked about, like I thought that he was just real solid anchor of the movie, his character, the performance, and also his arc. I think that he probably grew more as a character in this movie than he did in his origin story.
Way more action in this. What'd you guys think of the fights with those two the two minions, I guess we'll call them? I think it's called Gigantor, I think they're calling it actually, which is Shumagora, and then that other thing that we see in the beginning during like the dream where it's ponytail strange.
Those
were some cool ass I guess henchmen, I guess you might want to say. At times, I also had heard a rumor that there was only going to be two. We thought there was only two, but it's actually four of those giant things, like at the that mount that she ends up at the end. And somebody
they
was
were
saying
like orcs. That's what I kept thinking
of. When there were only going to be two, say they were saying it was going to be Billy and Tommy, actually.
Oh,
ooh, that would have been nice.
That would have been badass.
Yeah, but it wasn't. All right, so we get that. What's that thing called again? The Shadow Walk? Is that what it's called? The
Dream Walk.
Dream Walk. Yeah. So Jenny? Yeah, you popped big for that. Where he has to go into he has to use the Darkhold, but that was a legit. You know, this is even more horror stuff here. When you see him like kind of come out of that makeshift grave that R. Strange did. And then we have that walk and everything like that, and he could kind of inhabit it. Where I think I think the younger audience, I think the fact that, you know, it's being controlled and he kind of could talk through it, I think is kind of where they get like a little bit of a pass, so to speak. Not as scary, but it was still scary and cool. And what are your any other thoughts that you didn't share yet on that?
Yeah, no, agreed. It was scary and cool. When they got the dead Strange from the other universe and they buried him, you know, on the rooftop, I was like, this is going to be something. I didn't know what, but it was just a real cool way that they planted this here and then totally circles back to it to resurrect the zombie Strange. But all of the horror aspects were just really well done and super scary and frightening. Like, and it should be. It's sorcery. It's magic. It's dark. Like, I'm glad that they went that way. I would probably be cutting a promo if it was like the Disney version of the magic, you know, and I'm really happy that they kind of pushed it a little bit to do this version.
Yeah, they're doing the projects correctly, basically. Like, yes. Yeah, we saw that in Moon Knight. They're not censoring, or they're not
dumbing it down.
Like, yeah, or yeah, like watering it down, so to speak, to keep it under a certain brand. They're letting it be its own thing, which is really cool. And you had a good point there. Like, I didn't put two and two together because there's an old screenwriting rule that I don't know who came up with it, but it was Patty Chayefsky or something, that if you show a gun in act one, you got to fire it in act three. And that's pretty much, you see this body get buried in act one, that body's going to come out in act three. So that's kind of what
happens. You set up a table in the ring, somebody's going to the table in the ring.
That's right. Scott, what are your thoughts on the zombie Strange and his walk and all that stuff?
It was real creepy, like with the eyes.
Yeah.
Like how like the demons came out of the eyes and was like attacking it, and then we go through and like, you know, we have to fight them in the, like that weird dream world that they're in. I thought that was really cool, and it shows how smart our girl is. I can't think of her name right now. Rachel McAdams' character, because she was fighting the
Christine.
Yeah, Christine. She was like fighting them off. She like banished them back to hell, which I thought was crazy. And then like Zombie Strange able to fly with like all the rest of them. That was just disgusting. And like we see, and like it's just like holy shit. And Wong takes out one of the golem people by like hitting him through like the chin with like this climbing thing. I was like, damn, this is We're all over the place tonight, but I was really enjoying it, and it was pretty gnarly. But like the dreamwalking stuff was creepy on all sides. Like in the side with when we saw it with Wanda in it, and like she's like her acting is great because like she gets taken over and you see it instantaneous. And I actually thought like we'll get to the when the end. I actually thought that she was going to be the one that took down Wanda, because when she got left where that book was, the Ashanti, where she got left with the book, she uses some of her Wanda powers to get back into like the, into the door. So I thought it was going to be like, you took my body over to try to get to my sons, I'm going to kill you type thing, instead of the weird little sentimental moment they had, which I think would have been better, because like, this is still Wanda Maximoff at the end of the day. And, like, you know, if someone was in control of my body, I would be like, yeah, you're going to die a horrible death after what you made me do. She took out the 838's mightiest heroes right there. Like, just wiped them all out. And it's like, I kind of want to see what happens with that. Like, does Doctor Strange go and be like, here's what happened, guys. And then that just open up a whole thing. Then it caused an incursion. I need to know. I'm sorry. I went completely off the track, but I was just what was coming to my head at the time.
It's okay. All right, so what do we think of Wanda's fate? Now, you know, to quote our good friend, Tim Capel, is she still on the board? I think she is. I think something's going on. She will pop up again. Jessica sent me a thing that there's a theory floating around that Wanda switched with the 813, whatever it is, Wanda when America shows her Billy and Tommy. So that's a rumor. I don't think that's going to happen. I think just Wanda is going to have her face turn at some point, or something's going to happen. I don't know. We definitely are going to see her again. Scott, what do you think? Are we going to see her again? And if so, when?
She's dead. She went too far. She went too far. She went too far bad. This is no like Age of Ultron where she's able to make a face turn halfway through the movie. What she did, not only in WandaVision with that town, to what she did now, there's no coming back. As Nat said, there's too much red in her ledger, and there's too much red in this woman's ledger. And, you know, her basically going all close to House of M Wanda, besides remaking whole realities, she sort of was trying to remake realities. There's no coming back for that. I know she may be a good guy in the comics now, but I think she's dead. Elizabeth Olsen, you fucking knocked it out of the park, because I know you're listening to this, and you were great, and thank you for all your service to Mickey Mouse and Marvel.
Jenny, so can you follow that?
No, absolutely. It's tricky, because what I know about comics and people being dead is that is very, very unlikely that she is. Especially given, like Scott said, her performance. And like when WandaVision, like I thought that was great. I thought she was great in it. The ending did not stick for me. I hated the ending. And so it had clouded my judgment a little bit of her entire performance. Not all the way, but like I was like, it's not as great as I was thinking. But then in this movie, she was perfect. She was incredible. Like the emotion, the power, like her depth, like everything. She just stole all the scenes. And so for me, that feels like a ending type performance. It felt like she laid it all out on the table, and this was her swan song. And also, Viz is dead. She can't have her kids. What? I mean, I know we can do other things with her, but like what we've done so far, what else does she have to live for? What else would be her motivation? You know, what else are we going to give her? Who's going to trust her anymore? You know, what can we do with her? I don't know. So unless we switch universes, you know, I don't know. But at the same
time.
Yeah, that's true. At the same time, it's really hard to count anybody out in comics. And she also did stand down at the end. So she was giving a little bit of a redemption, you know, towards the end of that where she just realized that she fucked up. So they try to save it a little bit, but I'm torn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something we're all going to have to wait and see on. So what do you think of the ending of the movie, Jenny? Was it satisfying? Did they stick the landing? Do you like where the story ended up?
I do. Yeah. It just feels like anything can happen now. Mm-hmm. I think that's what my big takeaway was, and that I felt like Steven had found some level of peace. You know, I felt like he kind of let go of some of the things that he had been struggling with, but now he's got a third eye. So unsure how he's going to deal with that. He is going to have consequences for what he did, for how he, you know, helped to solve the problem in the movie. So I wonder how he will handle that. But overall, like, it's hopeful coming mm-hmm. out of the yeah. movie. And I thought it super delivered on a lot of the stuff that we were hoping to see. And now I just feel like tons of possibilities. Like, I feel like he could show up anywhere.
Yeah.
He could do anything.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the mid and post credit scene in a second. Scott, what did you think of the ending?
I really enjoyed it, and I really liked the because, like, we didn't mention this, but Steven had to use that that dark book in the realm where he killed, like, the strange that took over everything. And so we're obviously going to see, like Jenny said, some residual effects off of that. And we actually see that with him gaining his quote-unquote third eye at the very end of the movie, which because that Stephen Strange had it because they said, like, when you use that book, it takes something. So what did, like, so I guess we're gonna, I guess maybe it took, like, that, or he's just a stronger sorcerer now, which, like, what the hell's Wong going to do? But I feel it opens up for a whole lot more. You know, hopefully they keep it in the 616 universe, which when they did announce that at my theater, that it was the 616 universe, everyone clapped. Yeah. Because that is the Marvel universe in the comics, is the 616. So, but no, I'm looking forward to where they go for here. I know that Benedict Cumberbatch said he was going to take a break from acting, but come on, when they block that, and they, you know, bring the Brinks truck to you and chop it off at your house, I'm sure you'll be coming back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he has said that. Well, they have the slate, and I don't see Doctor Strange really. Me, I mean, the only place I would see is maybe House of Harkness. Is that what the Agatha Harkness show is called, right? Is that what
I think
it is?
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only time I could see him coming back until some more, slate is announced. But, speaking of Agatha Harkness, I know our friend Justin expected her to show up at some point also in this movie. Are there any characters, any cameos you thought were going to come, or characters you would have liked to have seen and didn't get, Scott?
I thought we were going to get to the X-Men somehow with this, but that appears to not be the case. I just want to see how they do the X-Men with this universe, because I would love to see an X-Men versus Avengers movie. I don't know if we'll ever get that, but just something I want to see, because I don't really know how. Well, also, they're a lot smarter than me. I don't know how they'll bring mutants in to this universe, but it remains to be seen. And also, I mentioned earlier, but Tom Cruise's Iron Man, like, it would have been pretty cool just to see Tom Cruise hamming it up as Maverick Tom Cruise. So,
yeah, that would have been pretty damn cool.
Maverick Iron Man, sorry.
Jenny would have popped big time.
Oh, sure.
Jenny, any cameos you thought we were going to get, or maybe you would like to have seen?
Yeah, no, the X-Men is where I was focused on this. I was hoping we would get, like, a team, you know, just a glimpse, maybe, I don't know, but I would echo that statement. I want to see X-Men versus Avengers. And I think they have a couple of different ways they could do the mutant thing. But it will be interesting to see how they do it.
All right. Yeah, Dylan was hoping for Deadpool, and I was like, I think Ryan Reynolds was trolling, I think. He was messing with people. All right, so we get a mid-credit scene, which I had no clue what was happening, you know, because I all I know is I'm like, oh, it's Charlize Theron. She's in the MCU, you know, and I looked it up when I got home. I mean, she was listed as Sarah, and I saw a, you know, I watched the Nerdist thing on the scene. So apparently she is Dormammu's niece or something, and she ends up becoming a romantic interest for Stephen Strange. So it's going to be very interesting to see where that goes, because I would can see Charlize Theron and Benny Cumbo. I think they're going to look good together on screen. Jenny, did you pop big time when you saw Charlize?
I did. I didn't know who she was either, so I had to look her up immediately. I was like, oh, because that, like you said, that's an interesting acting pairing, and she's a legit like action star. Like, I love her. Like, she is, I have no qualms about her being in the MCU at all. I think she's gonna kill it, and them being together, I could see being real hot.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what are your thoughts on the introduction of Sarah and Charlize?
I thought her name was Clea.
Is it Clea?
Oh, it was
sorry.
Clea. Yeah.
Clea, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Clea, Sarah, whatever.
Yeah. It should be interesting. I'm kind of shocked that she took, like, not a well-known character, because she's, like Jenny said, a big actress, big-name actress. So I'm shocked that, like, you know, she's doing, like, not a, maybe a side character or some sort, like, as she becomes a love interest for Steven. So maybe they flesh her out more. But it definitely seems like we're going to see more of the multiverse with that. And, you know, it's funny because I sent you guys this article that IGN had to get today. It was like, what are we going to do about the Infinity War, the Illuminati? And I was like, well, they're all dead. But of course, I read the article, and they were talking about how they might be tied to Secret Wars, which was like this big event in Marvel. So like, maybe that's like, it's where it's different universes. So maybe we're going to see some of that maybe coming up. I mean, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but you know, maybe it's something leading to that, where it's, you know, alternate universes brought in. So it's it should be, I keep saying this a lot, but it should be interesting. But I have total faith in Marvel. I love Marvel. I know me and Jenny talked about this on another podcast. Even though I'm a DC fanboy for comics, Marvel just knocks it out of the park with the movies. If this was DC handling, I'd be like, this is probably going to be shit, guys. Just FYI. But with Marvel, like, you know, they can't do anything wrong until they start making multiple bad movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even their you know, doo-doo shit movies are still better than a lot of other movies. And we're talking about you, Thor: The Dark World.
Except for Eternals.
I don't know. I didn't hate Eternals. Didn't love it, but I didn't hate it, though.
It was real weird.
Yeah. It was that should have been a Disney Plus show. It was too much to cram exactly in a 2.5-3 hour movie, whatever it was. But all right, so what do we got coming up in the MCU? Our next thing is Ms. Marvel, dropping on the Disney Plus in June, and then after that is Thor: Love and Thunder, and then going down, looking at, you know, we have Wakanda Forever coming, where apparently we're going to get Namor introduced from all the rumors.
Yes,
we're going to have Ironheart, we're going to have Armor Wars. We got a lot coming. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, where there's going to be a kind of a changing of the guard, so to speak, in that movie, from what we understand. They just wrapped principal photography. So what are your thoughts on, you know, because we're going to get away, I think, from, I don't know, is Ms. Marvel mystical, or is that more cosmic? We're going to with that and Thor, we're going to the cosmic realm before, I think, after that, I think we're getting She-Hulk. So we're going to go up to the ethers, whatever, for a while, and then come back down. Scott, what do you hope to see between Ms. Marvel and Thor: Love and Thunder?
Well, with Ms. Marvel, I don't think I'm the target demographic, so that's why, like, I know a lot of people shit on it, but it seems like a real maybe preteen show, which I'm going to watch it and try to enjoy it, but that's just the vibe I got. I got, like, Diary of a Wimp Kid with the way some of the effects were, which, you know, those movies aren't for me. I've never seen them, but I will check out Ms. Marvel because of the MCU tie-ins. I want to be up to date with that. So, you know, my expectations are tepid with that. for the Thor movie, I'm expecting something just as good or if not better than Ragnarok. With the Guardians people attached, at least for half the movie, it appears. I'm looking forward to it. Natalie Portman is in that. Looks like she's going to be with as Jane again. And also we have Christian Bale as Goro the God Butcher. So I'm really interested in with that. Like, are we going to get other gods in the MCU? Like, you know, I know Hercules and Ares are in the comics. So are we going to see like them brought to life and then immediately killed, like the Illuminati? I'm really excited. And I'm really excited for it. I'm not sure if you mentioned it, but Secret Invasion, which has already been sort of talked about. That's going to be a Disney Plus show. I think that's next year. But I'm literally reading the comics from like the 5 years ago before Secret Invasion came out. So I can like then read Secret Invasion. So I know what's going on. I got to read like 1,000 comics and I'm working on it right now. So I'm reading all the tie-ins. So I'm all in.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to watch Ms. Marvel per your Pop Goes to the Couch contract. So just
of course.
Very excited. Also, we have Egyptian gods now. Speaking of Egyptian gods, don't know exactly when the Moon Knight finale pod is going to drop. We're still working on it out with schedules, so we wanted to make sure everybody's on the show. So that's a little cheap plug there for Pop Goes to the Couch. Jenny, what are your thoughts? What do you hope to see with Ms. Marvel, Thor Love and Thunder, and anything else coming up?
I read, I think it was like a trade paperback of maybe like 6-8 issues of this version, the Kamala Khan version of Ms. Marvel. And I actually ended up really enjoying it. It's a little bit of a standard origin type thing, but it's a cool focus, like Scott said, in this demographic for this sort of like a young teenager vibe. You know, Spider-Man is a little bit older for us. You know, there's not a lot of this age group stuff in the MCU. So I think that it'll be good, honestly. And they've been really killing it with these young female characters, like with Hawkeye, like America. So I don't know. I think she'll be a great addition. And Love and Thunder, fuck. I am stoked for that. Like, just more of the Ragnarok feel. And then you got the sweet, like, 80s hairband feel to the movie, like, with the trailers and stuff. So I just expect more greatness.
Yeah. Just like Taika Waititi, James Gunn, Sam Raimi and the Russo Brothers direct everything.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Very good. So that is our review of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness here on Pop Goes to the Movies. I want to thank you guys for first dropping by and reviewing and going over the movie with me. Real quick, you have any plugs on anything coming up soon and your social medias? Jenny, we'll start with you.
Yeah, me and Shift just did an episode of You Heard About Pluto. It should be coming out pretty soon. And we watched Supermarket Sweep and talked about everything except for Supermarket Sweep. So lots of cool shows I've been doing recently. You can find those on the North-South Connection on Wednesdays. You'll find either the Pluto or Freak Out Drive-In, Talking Pop, or something else. Mostly Freak Out Driving in Pluto for right now, just because that's what I can book. So that's what I've been doing a lot of sort of new guests that haven't been on for a while. Andy, your episode of Freak Out Drive-In, where we watched Ready or Not, is coming out this week. So check that one out.
See, that was fun.
That was a really fun
one. What a banger of a movie.
I know, right? And everything I do is on linked on Twitter at Jenny Position.
Yeah, Ready or Not is one of those movies that like I liked it in the theater, and it just grows on me every time I watch it. I just like it more. Scott, what do you got going up your social media and stuff?
Yeah, as Jenny said, I just did my first on Pluto. Sorry, mine just went blank. Doing a YouTube roulette on the wrestling feed. We'll get the Moon Knight pod out eventually. We'll also be doing Obi-Wan show when it comes out at the end of the month. I can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet.
All right. Yeah, we're going to be very busy on Pop Goes to the Couch because we got Obi-Wan and we got Ms. Marvel. We got The Boys. We got Stranger Things. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, we're going to start doing what we call interlude episodes. When there isn't an episode, a new episode drop, we're going to talk about other shows that we've been streaming that we haven't had a chance to talk about also. So check those out. As for me, hopefully a new episode of The Muppet Pod should be coming next week. Pop Goes the Disney Pod, Pop Goes the Classics. Latest one is Beauty and the Beast that dropped last week. Aladdin will be dropping in the beginning of June. So really looking forward to everybody hearing that. Doing more episodes of Laugh in Theater soon, hopefully. Year in Pop, I keep saying that. We'll be back soon. Blockbuster Rewatch is dropping all the time. Check me out on Stream Lounge. I am there every other Wednesday. The next episode I am up to, the next movie, actually, is Thor Ragnarok. Scott Criscolo will be joining me for that on Stream Lounge. That will be on Wednesday night, actually a week from this Wednesday, the 11th, on the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then after that, The Godfather, Nate Milton, will be making his Stream Lounge debut to join me for Black Panther. So really looking forward to that. And then, you know, we keep moving on. I'm going to try to figure out how to do the Spider-Mans as maybe probably pods only. May introduce my daughter to the world of podcasting. Not sure. She's a huge fan of the Spider-Man, especially, Mr. Tom Holland himself. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that. So, yeah, so check out everything we got here. The PlayStation Pop Experience. Great shows dropping all the time. Great shows dropping on the PlayStation Wrestling Network, as well as their North-South Connection. Check out PlayStation.com. Each and every day we got articles. We got all the pods are there. So it's a little something for everybody on there. And hopefully we get some a new tournament going up soon. We don't know exactly what it'll be, but, check it out. And, summer movie season, guys, is pretty much upon us, I think, in my opinion. So there should be more episodes of this pod dropping regularly. Will be different combinations. So we'll hope to see, we're talking about some fun stuff, getting back into the theaters. All right. So once again, I want to say a big thank you to Jennifer Smith and Scott Schiffler for joining me here on Pop Goes to the Movies. I'm Andy Atherton, and we'll check you out for whatever the next movie is. Take care.